Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
It's Friday gathering time, and this week I'm joined by Sinn Féin TD for Mayo and spokesperson on enterprise, tourism and employment, Rose Conway Walsh, political editor with the Sunday Times, Jennifer Bray, and special correspondent at the Irish Examiner, Mick Clifford. And from our Limerick studio, we're joined by Fianna Fáil TD for County Limerick and the Minister of State at the Department of Justice, Niall Collins. And we are going to start with the race for the presidency, because that's where all the intrigue is, isn't it? We read this morning in the papers that Fianna Fáil has a bit of a fight on its hands now. Billy Kelleher told us on Tuesday that he wouldn't rule himself out or in. It seems that he's in it, and he could be in it to win it from what we see this morning. Niall, John Downing was on with us earlier on, and he said that the Taoiseach can rely, if he's backing Jim Gavin, he can rely on support from his ministers and his ministers of state and perhaps his committee chairs as well, you know, to support who he wants to see on that ballot paper. So does that tell us that you're pretty much locked in for Jim Gavin?
Well, I think the Taoiseach has been very clear all along that he would come forward at the end of the month, and we're now pretty much at the end of the month, moving into early September, and that he would outline his position to the parliamentary party, and indeed, if that requires that we would have a process within the parliamentary party. The rules of the Fianna Fáil organisation are very clear. It's a decision of the Fianna Fáil parliamentary party on who a presidential candidate for the party would be, mm-hmm, if we so decide to run a candidate.
Did you get the call last night from Jack Chambers?
I didn't. And
did you get one from Micheál?
I haven't had any communication from the leadership in relation to this. And I think, in fairness to the leadership, and indeed to the people who have expressed an interest, and there's many people out there who have expressed an interest in relation to becoming potentially a Fianna Fáil candidate, Billy Kelleher, whom I know very well.
And he was on to you, 100%, Munster man. He gave
Last Sunday at the Limerick Show, about 4 hours with him at the Limerick Show, and we're neighbouring counties. I know him very well. Mary Hanafin has been in touch with me. I know that Eamon O'Queeve has been spoken about, others have been spoken about, and of course Jim Gavin, whom has a very, very high profile, very, very well known, and indeed would be a strong candidate also, whom I don't know personally and whom I haven't spoken to. I read in the papers and I hear in the papers that he's now moving in the direction of seeking a nomination also. So it's looking entirely obvious that there's going to be a process within the Fianna Fáil parliamentary party, and in fairness to everybody who's involved in that, and in fairness to out of a mark of respect to the candidates who are going to be coming before
Fianna Fáil parliamentary party.
Well, I think it would be right and respectful that I and others would allow everybody to make their pitch to us and do it in a proper professional manner.
If Micheál wants Jim, you sort of have to back Jim, don't you? I mean, you're one of his ministers.
Well, look, you're not going to, quite clearly, Claire, you're not going to get me to declare for any one of the potential candidates, and I've outlined to you.
Okay, can I put it another way? Because you are one of Micheál Martin's ministers, you would have to back his selection, whoever that may be.
Look, there's going to be a process, and I know what you're going to try to do. You're going to try and get every Fianna Fáil minister and every Fianna Fáil TD onto a radio station.
I know it's a difficult position, but I'm just interested to know how this works. Like, does the Taoiseach have that sort of, the leader of the party have that sway, John Downing says, over ministers?
Obviously, what the leader asks, and what the leader, you know, the direction that he intends to, would like to go in and intends to go in, that will carry a lot of sway.
Yes.
But to be fair to everybody, you know, and to be respectful to everybody, and we saw the you know, I looked on from the sidelines at how Fine Gael pretty much dumped Sean Kelly in a straight, nearly, you know, 24-hour period. I don't think we should do that. I think we should allow a respectful process where the people who have gone to the bother to contact, you know, individual party members who have written to us, and those who yet haven't had that opportunity, namely Jim Gavin, I think they should be all allowed that space and that opportunity to make their pitch to us, and we'll do it in a proper structured approach through the parliamentary party.
A voter called John in Newbridge, who's been on to us, says, as a GAA football fan who has suffered watching Dublin GAA, why would I remotely vote for Jim Gavin? That could be the other side to Jim Gavin's candidacy, right?
No.
Mayo people, Rose, might have similar issues.
Absolutely. I was just saying that to Mick earlier on. Mayo and Kerry might have a different opinion.
And what about yourself? Your name has been mentioned in relation to Sinn Féin. Where are you at?
Well, there's lots of names we mentioned, like, you know, Claire.
Yours has been around a lot now this week.
Well, we have an ongoing discussion and conversation within the party, and I think it's actually very interesting. You know, we had our hunger strike commemoration. There was thousands at last weekend, and it formed a big part of that as well in terms of the conversations. We'll be having our
Were thinking, they all on to you at that now, saying you should step up?
I was saying to Mick earlier on, and Jennifer, somebody was asking, could they have the job of looking after the swans? You know, but it's... but obviously the presidential role is it's a very serious role, and it's particularly serious, I think, in the time that we're in, particularly around constitutional change and all that. Mm-hmm. So we want to make the right decision. And the conversations that have been happening within the party, I think, are really important, and the consultations. Now, we are having our thinking on the 8th and 9th of September, and that'll form part of that as well. And then we have an Ord Cóirle to make the final decision.
When's the Ord Cóirle?
On the 20th, September.
That's an awful long way out.
No, it isn't. I think it's hugely important.
Heather Humphreys will have been in every county by the time you pick somebody.
Heather Humphreys has a lot of questions to answer. And I think the question for the Irish people is, you know, we have the situation in the Dáil where there's absolute control by Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and the independents, Mike Lowry's independents combined. You have that in the Dáil, you have it in the Shannon. They have a majority in every committee. Now, will the Irish people decide that also we should have a Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael candidate in the Áras? And I think all these things will unravel as we go on. Mm-hmm. But I do think it's scandalous that we're going into a situation again where we don't have presidential voting rights for people in the north.
Okay,
I really do.
Will you run if you're asked?
We will have those discussions again in the coming weeks.
Would I be right in saying you will if you're asked?
You're going a step too far there, Claire.
You're certainly
I would tell you honestly, like, I am very focused on what I'm doing at the moment. I'm chair of the Defence and National Security Committee. I'm the spokesperson for Enterprise, Tourism and Employment, and I play a lead role in the Good Friday Agreement Implementation Committee. And I have a huge constituency in Mayo, and I have to make sure that all that is done. That is really my focus for now. But things obviously over the coming weeks will unfold, and I hope that we make the right decision and we will be in it to win it. And of course, the decision for us is, do we run our own candidate
or
do we support Catherine Connolly? Do we support another candidate, like-minded candidate?
How do you feel about that, about Catherine Connolly?
Well, there's merits in both of them, and I think anybody, like, Catherine Connolly is a serious candidate for this election, so, you know, that's what we have to
demonstrate her commitment to United Ireland. That's
absolutely, yes, and that was always our bottom line, and it certainly is my personal bottom line as well.
Mick Clifford, you're enjoying all this, I can see by your face.
It is, Claire. I mean, Uachtaráin Conwy Walsh here, I mean, has made her pitch there. But anyway, I think that what's going on in Fianna Fáil is interesting from a couple of perspectives. I mean, you know, some people within Fianna Fáil, internally in the parliamentary party, for a long time, an awful lot of people within it felt that... the leader's reign was he kept a very tight grip on it, and that they weren't consulted enough. Perhaps some may see this as an opportunity to make a pitch or whatever, and therefore go against the wishes of the party, as they've been outlined in the media, certainly, that it would seem that Micheál Martin is backing Jim Gavin. Therefore, some may see Billy Kelleher's candidacy in that light. The other element to that is Jim Gavin now is in a scenario whereby it would appear, again, from everything that's been reported, that he was approached, that it looked like that it appears certainly that he is Micheál Martin's choice, and that it looked like perhaps he might just have be ushered straight in without any contest. Does he want a contest? Is he willing to fight? I think that's the other issue. That, I reckon, will become clear in the next 48 hours if he doesn't pull out or issue a statement to that effect.
Jim Gavin's whole GAA career has been about winning
exactly
insurmountable battles at times,
this
right?
This is exactly why one would think that he would be up for it, because other people perhaps might look at this and say, I'm not getting involved in turning part. But as you say, I don't think none of his teams anyway ever backed down from any kind of a scrap if it developed.
Right. Were you surprised, Jen, to hear that Billy Kelleher was as interested in the job as he appears to be now?
No, and I think kind of the signs were there from when he was on your show earlier in the week, and he kind of paused when you put it directly to him if he was considering it. And I think then that's when you could see the straws in the wind. I think the thing about Billy Kelleher that's always worth remembering is he is very, very well liked in the party, excuse me, which is not an easy task when you've been in a party like Fianna Fáil for a very long time. And that likability factor, I think, is important. And I wouldn't be surprised if you had ministers and junior ministers from Fianna Fáil out even answering the question about whether they're expected to vote in line with Micheál Martin, maybe saying that, of course, you know, and I think Niall Collins used the phrase, you know, his views carry a lot of sway. But I wouldn't be surprised if secretly they voted for Billy Kelleher. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw people switching, even who previously earlier in the week might made up their mind to back
Jim Gavin. Is it a secret vote, Niall?
Well, we haven't had an opportunity to select a candidate in nearly 30 years. And as I said to you, the rules of the Fianna Fáil party, and I'm just summarising them to you, basically says that it's the function of the parliamentary party to select a presidential candidate. Now, on the previous occasion, that was when Mary McAleese was selected, and as I asked somebody recently what was the procedure there, and their recall was that it was a secret ballot at that point in time.
That might be useful for people.
Except Bertie Ahern showed Albert Reynolds his voting card on that occasion, and we know where all that learned, and Albert was told by another member of the parliamentary party, well, that's you goose, so, but anyway. Right. That was.
So this could go anyway, is what you're saying, Jen.
Yeah, and I think actually that the divide, I think the contest in Fianna Fáil is a lot tighter maybe than we would have expected, and I would definitely view Billy Kelleher now as being a serious contender, just from talking to people within Fianna Fáil since last night, basically saying, is this a genuine thing? And they're saying, well, yeah. And also, I suppose that the advantage he has over Jim Gavin is he does have this kind of long political history. You know, he was a junior minister, he's a TD, he was a senator, and now he's an MEP. We kind of know where he stands on a lot of political viewpoints. We know that even in the abortion referendum, he took a more liberal viewpoint. You know, he was very pro-choice. We know what his actions when he was in different business ministries. You know, he was an enterprise.
But Jen, Thomas Byrne articulated this, and others have too, from within Fianna Fáil, that to win this, you're going to need to be able to reach beyond the Fianna Fáil party,
yeah,
way beyond the Fianna Fáil party. And that's probably why Jim Gavin is attractive.
100%. And on the flip side as well, I think that's what made the idea of Mary Lou McDonald running attractive. I genuinely believed that there would be people outside of Sinn Féin who would have voted for Mary Lou McDonald, maybe because they like her personally.
About that prospect as though it's in the past tense.
Well, we don't know. I think it would be a legitimate shock if Mary Lou McDonald went for it. I kind of have been trying to read between the lines with things that she's been saying in the last week, and maybe I'm reading the tea leaves wrong, but I'm definitely getting the impression that she wants to stay on. And in the last 24, 48 hours, names that I have heard, firstly, Rose Conway-Walsh here beside me trying to grill her for information before the show to no avail. And secondly, Piers Doherty. They're the two names that I'm hearing. It would be a shock if Mary Lou went for it. I don't think she's ruled it out. My information is that she has almost made her decision.
The other thing about Billy Kelleher's candidacy, a potential candidacy, is remember, if Billy wins the nomination, he wins because Billy's out in Europe, and having attached to your name, former candidate for the President of Ireland in faraway countries is a bit of kudos. So, for instance, if you had someone in here, Claire, who you were told was former presidential candidate in Poland or whatever, you wouldn't necessarily know the background, but that of itself gives a certain kudos.
Maybe.
And that's a win for Billy if he gets nominated, irrespective of whether he has a realistic chance of winning the contest itself.
And coming back to Catherine Connolly, Alan Kelly's words this week on Tip FM, Mick, if I come to you on this one as well, he's not supporting her, he's not going to vote for her, he's very upset about what happened back in 2006 and other matters as well. Like, is that going to have an impact, in your view, on her candidacy? Is she going to become the left-wing disunity candidate?
To some extent. I mean, you will have Labour voters within the various coalition of parties that are backing her. You will have what you might call old Labour, and I think Alan Kelly might describe himself as old Labour, who will have issues around that. And, you know, her positions on some issues, left-wing issues, if you want to call them that, are to the further left than perhaps they are in Labour, possibly some elements of the Green Party. So that's there already. But I think Alan Kelly vocalising in it and doing so to the extent that he did, that could make some waves in general there.
What about waves within the Labour Party, Jen? Are you sensing that, or is this just Alan Kelly?
I don't get the sense that it is a widespread unhappiness. I think the vast majority of people within Labour, in the parliamentary party and amongst the councillors, are happy enough with the decision so far, because mm-hmm. we still have so much road to go in this presidential campaign. Like, it hasn't even fully kicked off yet, you know. So the feeling right now is kind of, we're OK for now. But I, you know, that could obviously change. But I think I wasn't surprised to hear that Alan Kelly wasn't happy. Like you said, he'd be old Labour. I kind of expected him to say it, if I'm being totally honest. Right. But I don't pick up on a massive uprising against the decision yet. No.
Given that you feel the road to the election is still long, mm. do you think Sinn Féin are? It's okay for Sinn Féin to delay making a decision until, did we say the 20th?
20th of September. I think I can see the logic from Sinn Féin's perspective is in that you let a lot of things shake out in the campaign. Like, if there's, let's say if there's any skeletons in the closet of any candidate of any party, the longer you leave the campaign to go on, the more you know fully about them, the closer you can come to making a decision where you don't feel like you'll regret it. On the other hand, it's exactly what you said about Heather Humphreys going all around the country. You are losing out on key time to go and press the flesh effectively and to make your case to the Irish people, to mount your social media campaign and to get used to as well being out in the airwaves on the media, being grilled by hungry political journalists, you know. Mm-hmm. So you're losing time, but you possibly are gaining some element of strategy, I suppose.
Because you'll change your strategy. If it's Jim Gavin, you'll think about one person. If it's Billy Kelleher, you might think about another, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Rose?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, when the more variables you've pinned down, the better. But I do think in regard to Heather Humphrey going around the country, she's going to have to answer and face people who are really suffering from the cost of living and from all of the issues that she was deputy head with Simon Harris. So of all of those issues. So it's not going to be a free ride around the country where everybody is going to be embracing this, you know. So there's a tough journey to go yet. But I do think that in Labour, I suppose, is an example of the importance of consultation and conversation, having everybody involved and having everybody with you. And one thing for sure is whatever decision we make, we will have a hugely active campaign right across.
And do you have a good pair of campaigning shoes now that are broken in?
I always have campaigning shoes. Mayo is a big county.
We're not good. And listen, the prospect of Jim Gavin, I mean, it would keep him off the pitch, wouldn't it? The GAA pitch, Mick, if he were to go for this.
Oh, that's the other thing. I have a different view from Rose in terms of anyone from the likes of Kerry or Mayo or Donegal. It means that for the next 7 years, Jim Gavin can't be manager of Dublin. So I'd be voting for him definitely.
Or anywhere
that
else. Or anywhere else. Now, listen, we heard at the start of the programme about the school secretaries and the caretakers. Many of them are out picketing this morning. This is probably going to continue from what we hear into next week. I mean, the job, let's take the school secretary, Mick, it's a really visible job, isn't it? Like, that's the person you speak to if your child is sick. Mm. If you need to resolve something at school, you go through the school secretary. So every parent in the country will know their secretary really well.
They'll know their secretary better than they know most teachers. I've been through it myself with kids in primary school, and there is huge support out there as a result for it. The bigger issue here, and it's a similar one that you have in the likes of the section 38 and 39 in the health service, it's those people who are effectively doing the state's work, but they do not have the state's pay and conditions that are enjoyed by people in the public service. Now, the campaign that went on for nurses a few years ago was very successful and it got them in. And a lot of people, I'd have to say myself included, thought that was the thing done. But quite obviously, and this is very typical of the kind of parsimonious attitude you'd have in the Department of Finance, which they're charged to have, that's part of their job. But it's like, give the inches, but if we open this, it'll mean it for others as well. Well, there needs to be a conversation about that. There needs to be a conversation about the Section 38 and 39. And yes, you are talking about a lot of money, but at the moment you have a two-tiered system. Those within the paying conditions of the public sector and those who are working in the public sector and don't have those paying conditions. Mm-hmm. And I think when you have a scenario with the school secretaries, and to a lesser extent, but also for the school caretakers, that the public's instinct is definitely to back them. Anybody who's ever had any connection with primary schools.
Yeah, you see, Niall, when the changes happened in 2022 and they were paid by the public sector, you know, they were put on the payroll, it was inevitable, really, wasn't it, that it was going to get to this point where they'd say, well, look, why shouldn't we get the pension and the other benefits that the rest of the public sector get?
Yeah, well, I accept that there's a very obvious anomaly here, and particularly when you compare and contrast the secretaries and the caretakers who are in non-ETB schools as against those who are working in the ETB school network. Again, that difference is really glaring. Look, this is a dispute. We have, thankfully, a good history in this country of resolving disputes. Sometimes it takes longer than we would hope in terms of finding a resolution. The WRC, as we know, are part of the process. They're now available and the sides have had initial engagement. Okay, they are.
But they can't find any common ground. I mean, they had to sort of walk away from it themselves on Monday, wasn't it?
Well, look, I suppose the point I'm making is this. The history of this country is that disputes get resolved and they do take a while. And I want to see this. I'm not directly involved in it, as you know. And I do acknowledge and I want to acknowledge again the very valuable work that school secretaries and caretakers undertake. Similar, my experience with my children meeting caretakers and secretaries in schools, similar to what Mick has articulated there. So I want to see this resolved and I would encourage both sides to remain in the process. If we can close the gap, or if they can close the gap and indicate that there's room for movement and get them back into formal talks with the WRC, well, I think hopefully we will then arrive at the end point where we all wanted,
Would you agree with Mick that really the public will be on side with the caretakers and the school secretaries on this one?
I would agree with that. Absolutely, I would agree with that, yeah.
Yeah, we absolutely shouldn't be in this situation. We are because two ministers sat on their hands. I mean, we're now her kids are going back to school. OK, this is the first few days. This could have totally been avoided. But now we're going to run on in this indefinite strike. Mm-hmm. They should have sat down. The ministers should have sat down with Forsa and agreed this. I mean, a pat on the back and a bunch of flowers after 40 years for a school secretary or caretaker isn't good enough. But as Mick says, it really exposes the model of delivery of essential services and the inequity that builds up, whether it would be between Section 38, Section 39, or here we are schools
as
well.
And Mick made the point as well that it is the Department of Finance's job to look after the money. And what door are you opening if you concede here?
Yeah, well, what you're talking about is it was costed by the department as 30 to 35 million in 2019. But you can't keep the door shut all the time and just say inequity and inequality is okay. That you can have first 10% of secretaries getting what they deserve and what they need to get, and then the other 90% not. But also people working with us in the same situation. You know, we have a lesser. It's not a lesser role as a secretary or a caretaker. It's an essential part of running a school.
Particularly now, I think, as things have changed in education, it's become an essential role. Yeah. Politically, Jen, where do you see this going?
I think from a political context, something has to give because we're talking about a strike of indefinite duration and that's huge pressure on the government. And I thought Niall Collins' comments there were really interesting because I detect a complete shift in tone versus what we've heard from the government up until today, which to me was more of a it's not really possible vibe and this idea of opening the floodgates. And if you allow this group access to these entitlements, which other group are going to come after? Well, you've already opened the door halfway by allowing them, you know, by basically saying they don't have to go on social welfare during the summer holidays, the changes that were previously enacted. So why not go the rest of the way? So I think there's an individual case here. And I think that it's really interesting to hear Niall Collins kind of saying, well, actually agreeing that the public will be on the side of school secretaries. That's a really interesting point. That's a political acknowledgement that the government are on the wrong side of this. So if he's saying that, the way I see it playing out is effectively a resolution, but it has to happen soon.
Niall, I mean, we did hear from Pascal Donoghue and Jack Chambers on this, and they had a different line to the one you've delivered today. I mean, you clearly didn't agree with them pushing back, you know, saying that we do appreciate the work that they do, but we can't concede to their demands.
Well, look, I mean, when you peel away all of the rhetoric, basically the department, the government, the state side of the dispute here are available for discussion and the union side are available for discussion. And we have the mechanism through the WRC. And as I pointed out to you, we've solved, satisfactorily resolved many disputes over the years. And, you know, we've been through long protracted disputes. We've discussed them at our parliamentary parties, and I remember Micheál Martin saying on many occasions, disputes will always get resolved, and it's a matter for getting the parties in, having negotiations, seeing where you have common ground, seeing where you have differences, seeing how you can bridge those differences. And the state has done.
I think,
just
though,
to make this point,
not in fairness, I think there's more of an urgency here, and one of the reasons why I think that, and maybe this is a selfish point of view, but I think for children walking up to a school, it'll be difficult for them to face into pickets next week, and that's why perhaps maybe this one, if it is going to be resolved, and it is, as you're right, they always are. Why not just do it quickly?
Look, I mean, it needs to be done right, and there's a process, and that's what I'm saying. The government, the state side, is open to the process, and obviously the union side are open to the process. The process may not go as quick as we all want it to go, but certainly engagement is the only way forward, and all of these disputes, ultimately, they do get resolved. And if you look at the history of disputes that we've had, particularly since the dreaded word FEMPI came on our narrative and on the landscape as a result of the financial crisis, a lot of disputes have centred around unwinding of FEMPI and issues related to that, and they have by and large largely been worked through where resolutions have been found. So I've no doubt that a resolution will be found in this case also.
Okay, just a question of when, but for now certainly those strikes are going to continue into next week. Right, listen, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much all of you for joining us. From Limerick we had Niall Collins, Minister of State at the Department of Justice, Rose Conway Walsh here with us in the studio, Sinn Féin TD for Mayo, Mick Clifford from The Examiner, and Jennifer Bray from the Sunday Times. Thank you all very much.